Welcome to the APA Podcast, where we help one another follow Jesus at home, in our city, and around the world.
Check, check, check. Oh, I'm on. Perfect. Good morning, everyone. How is everyone doing today? Good, good, good. Praise God. I'm excited to share the word of the Lord with you this morning. And if we haven't met, my name is Madison, and I'm the middle school youth pastor here at APA. And like I said, I'm so excited and ready to share what God has for all of us today. So before we get started, why don't you pick your favorite neighbor and say, it's good to see you here in the house of the Lord. Perfect, perfect. Okay, now you have to look at your other favorite neighbor and say, it's good to see you here too. Awesome. I love this family. This is a great family. So we have been in a series this summer called the Summer Packing List, and we are packing up everything we need for the journey. Everything that is called life. Everything such as the characteristics of Jesus as we live for him and mirror his ways in our daily lives and as we look to Jesus and how to live our life, clothing ourselves with compassion, humility, love, gentleness, patience, and today, kindness. So our passage that we're going to be going through has been in Colossians 3, 12 to 14. And so together, I was hoping that we could read this passage as one united voice. Like Pastor Peter said, while at camp, there was so much power in one room when there were over 200 to 300 students in one room either worshiping, praying, or cheering each other on, all excited to worship Jesus. So I think we can do better than a group of 200 students, right? Right, okay. So we're going to read Colossians 3, 12 to 14. I'm going to count us down and let's read it aloud together. 3, 2, 1. Since God chose you to be a holy people, he loves you. You guys continue. Humility, gentleness, and patience. Anyone who offends you, remember the Lord forgives you. So you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Awesome. Great job. Give yourselves a round of applause. You did great. You did great. Definitely was louder than a group of 200 U students. So as we continue, can you guys say together, holy and dearly loved? Yes, I hope that you leave this place reminded and refreshed today that you are holy and dearly loved children. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your word, for your power, and your spirit. May you be speaking through me this morning, God. We thank you so much for your truth and your word. We love you so much, Jesus, and may this all be glorifying and honoring to you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we continue packing for the summer, this morning we're adding to the suitcase and sharpening our character with the attribute and the virtue of kindness. So over the last few weeks, I was asking a couple friends and students, what does kindness mean to you? And I've compiled a list, and maybe you already have some ideas or people in mind that you think are kind, but this is a little list I put together of simply just seeing, okay, this is what kindness is. So the list is loving someone without partiality, no strings attached, allowing people to share God's love, going out of your way to help others, seeing someone how Jesus sees them, helping strangers, always being willing to help, going out of your way intentionally to show love, looking outside of yourself unto others, being genuine, being caring, being a soft person, looking without expectation of anything in return. And lastly, showing empathy and understanding towards others. So maybe one of these phrases you thought of already, and or they came to mind, or you can relate to one of them. But also, you might have just thought of someone who is simply nice. Growing up, a lot of people would call me at school too nice, and over time, it kind of became a roast rather than a compliment, and I didn't know if people were actually being genuine about it. But in my definition, there actually is a difference between being nice versus kind. So I put some definitions together, and this is what I would say. Being nice is being pleasant or living with a stable or satisfactory look on things or situations. But to be kind is, there are many small or large doses of one's character that are noticeable over time as love is being formed through the relationship with others. You can look to your wife and say she is kind by the way that she serves. Or you can look to your husband and say he is kind and he continues to honor me daily. This is choosing to live an upright standard and living righteously. One commentary mentioned that uprightness is a translation, is also the translation of kindness, the quality of being helpful, beneficial, with goodness, kindness, and full of generosity. To live an uprighteous life, we need to be righteous, and God calls his children, you and I, to walk righteously. Pastor Chad mentioned this last week, but kratos eis is the Greek word for goodness, kindness, and gentleness. It's a grace that fills a person, making them less harsh, and describes the quality of another when other people are around them, making them feel at ease when they are with you. Now, God's kindness is throughout Scripture so many times. We see it, and it is outnumbered. We see this story in the story of David, where he extended kindnesses to his friend's Jonathan's son. Okay, guys, help me say, I need to say this word correctly. Are you ready? His name's a little bit difficult, and I practiced it so much. It's Mephibosheth, something like that. There we go. Guys, I practiced this so many times. This is so embarrassing. Okay, Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel 9:7-10. So here's his story. When David became king, usually the tradition was that the previous king was killed. This means Saul's family line was to be killed. But David decided to show kindness towards Saul's grandson, Mephibosheth, as his best friend was Jonathan. So Jonathan was David's best friend, and Mephibosheth was his son. Mephibosheth was crippled at both feet and when he was accidentally dropped as a child. David called him to him to the kingdom and said, "Do not be afraid, for I will not kill you, but I intend to show kindness because of your father, Jonathan, is my best friend." He goes on to say, "I will give you property and allow you to live in a palace and eat at the king's table." Mephibosheth would eat at the king's table for the rest of his life and be a recipient of his kindness. David did so because of the blood covenant and strong friendship he had with Jonathan. It produced in David a burning desire to bless Jonathan's son. Whether Mephibosheth was worthy of blessing or not, it made no difference. David's heart towards him was a type of reflection of the Heavenly Father's heart who reached out to us first. It's a picture of God's hesed covenant and love and kindness towards us. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:4-9, let me read it for you. "But because of this great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, seated with him in heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order for the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Isn't this such good news, church? Because of God's rich, rich love and mercy made us alive. We are saved by his grace. And this sounds like the greatest act of kindness to me. And it sounds like a true gift. Romans goes on later and says that Christ died for us while we were still sinners in Romans 5:8. Jesus' blood covenant with the Father, he sent Jesus and as the promised seed to break the curse of sin. He extended the invitation of kindness to wash us clean, pure, and whole in his eyes. So as we dig deeper into the kindness, I would say that there are two sides of this kindness, the way that we receive God's kindness and the way that we give kindness that we receive. When Paul is writing to the Colossians of this kindness of God, he signifies that the kindness of God is in his character. He writes to the Colossians who were tempted to fall away of the ways of Jesus. He prays for them and says, "I hope that you grow in wisdom in knowing Jesus through the virtues of gentleness, humility, and kindness." Out of the attribute of kindness, he shares and communicates that it's through actions, words, his invitation, his salvation, his grace, and his forgiveness. Now, like I've said, kindness is related very closely to gentleness and love, but yet Paul separates these characteristics so that kindness is significant beyond the relationship of gentleness and love. We see God's kindness over and over again throughout Scripture. And it is displayed throughout the Gospels, all pointing to the one most important thing, which is the greatest commandment, to love. We specifically see Jesus' heart in the greatest story ever recorded. And this is found again in Romans 5:8, where he says, "He died for each one of us, as we are all sinners." Today, I'm going to share with you a part of my personal story, and I hope that you feel and leave this room just seeing how Jesus' kindness has been in my life and has been surrounding me all the days of my life. And over the course of my life, I have just seen it time and time again, his kindness unfold, but specifically, I've seen his kindness unfold with time. I won't be able to share with you a perfect scoring essay or a sermon on the complexity of his kindness, but as listed above earlier, when you think of kindness, you might think of an action, a word, a gift, a person, or someone's lifestyle. I know it's a very broad topic, but I pray that you leave this room carrying the understanding of how to be kind in your daily life towards people in your workplace, towards people in your family, so that you can represent Jesus with his character. So what does this kindness look like? Yes, there's many different avenues that we could take, but the kindness that we can receive and the kindness that we live out is through Jesus. So my first point for you is we need to learn to be kind to ourselves in order to be kind to others. So my personal story is that over the years, many people and many friends and even mentors or pastors in my life would repeat the phrase, be kind to yourself, be kind to yourself. Maybe you've heard that in your own life. But over the span of the last 25 years, I've come to see and understand that one of the greatest weaknesses that I've had to wrestle with is not feeling enough. Maybe this is by the way that I acted as a child, or the silly quirks that I had, or maybe it was the girl that had glasses and headgear. I looked like the kid from Finding Nemo with the fish with the whole headgear situation with braces. I think I had braces twice. Oh my goodness, crazy. Or simply maybe it was out of a moment when I didn't make the high school volleyball team. Many moments and emotions, imaginary ideas and anxieties that I picked up all over the years made me feel not enough. It began a battle in my mind where I was searching and striving to be enough, searching for value in things and in people. My friends would keep repeating the phrase, be kind to yourself, be kind to yourself, but I fully didn't take their advice until I was far too broken. You see, I began to not feel enough, and this led me into doubting the present value of my life. My future would never be full of my heart's desires. Maybe you've had some of these same thoughts, or maybe some of these phrases that I'm about to list might also be what you've lived in your own life. But the thoughts I began to have were, well, I'm not enough. I'll never see the blessing on the other side. I'll never experience this true joy. I feel like I'm drowning in what the world wants me to do. I won't ever see this come to pass. I'll never see my heart's desires because I'm not enough. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not worthy enough. I must have to find it somewhere else. I began to walk deeper and deeper into the valley of the shadow of death that the psalmist talks about. I searched for something, trying my own ideals, and it led me to the wrong friend groups, it led me to the wrong men, it led me to the wrong environments, and I began to doubt and lose all hope. But all along, I knew who Jesus was. I knew he was there, but I didn't know him. I couldn't fully see him. It felt dark. I knew he was the light. I knew he was ahead of me, going before me, but I felt so empty. And I truly think that one of the beginning roots of this was because I wasn't kind to myself and I didn't see myself the way Jesus saw me. So friends, we need to be willing to accept this kindness of Jesus, the kindness of his grace. Maybe you felt these emotions or you felt the same way at one point of your life or even now, where you knew Jesus was there, but you don't know him. Maybe you have started to do things on your own strength and haven't relied on him. Speaking from my experience, the importance and necessity of allowing him to take lead and show you his kindness, you will know that he will not lead you astray. In Psalms 23, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me." He is a kind shepherd and cares about his sheep, leading you along the righteous path, or even leading you and beside you and never leaving you, because he is a faithful God when you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. His invitation is to know him, and not just to say that you know him, but to truly know his voice, to know his intentions, to know his pursuing nature and his never-ending gaze upon you, to know his forgiveness and mercy. You see, Jesus demonstrates this kindness in a moment of desperation when all hope is lost. Maybe you feel like you're in a sinking situation that is coming from a lack of faith or doubt, or you're carrying these big questions about not knowing who God is and you don't know how to bring them to him. Let me say that when all hope was lost for myself, here is where I saw the invitation of Jesus' outstretched hand, how his eyes were locked on mine and he never left my sight, or I never left his sight. He wasn't going to let me keep sitting in my discontentment. He wasn't going to let me sit in the value that I thought that I lost, but he was going to show me the value that I had in him. This goes for us, church. We are invited to draw closer to Christ, to mirror the likeness, to know his heart and to hear his voice, to focus our faith in Jesus' true identity, and to remind our ears and our minds that he is the one who is going to help us overcome heartache and the feelings of unworthiness. Jesus sees you and he is giving you his full attention. You can learn from Jesus to receive this kindness as you are kind to yourself, but also that will lead you into pouring your kindness onto others as you represent his character. My foundation in knowing him, his faithfulness and goodness, wasn't strong enough until I removed the self-motivation and saw the kindness of Jesus and the faithfulness that he had never left my side. He showed up and he showed me that he wasn't going to leave me alone. I needed to ask for forgiveness and I needed to forgive myself. And I believe that this is pure kindness of a God that is never going to leave you. Even in the moments where it feels the darkest, this is pure kindness. And here is where it led me to repentance, which brings me to my second point this morning, that his kindness leads us to repentance and led me to repentance. So like Pastor Peter said, and we've been talking about camp over the last 2 weeks, I had some really fun moments with a lot of middle schoolers and high schoolers. And 2 weeks ago, I made a really good connection with this one student. She reminded me a lot of myself. She was very bubbly and kind of would just say whatever came to mind when she thought of it. And one afternoon, we were all in our cabin, and you can imagine what a cabin of 12 girls in middle school looks like. That's just crazy. There's everything everywhere, and we were all packing our bags, and we were talking about what's important to bring to camp and what's not important to bring to camp. And this one girl, and I just thought I would repeat what she said something so boldly, and yeah, it was hilarious. She just randomly said to this one girl who had a suitcase full of things, like, I can also be the type to overpack. I don't know if you guys are like that. But this one girl brought so many different things, and this girl just kind of yelled at her and said, "Why the heck would you bring that to camp?" And that statement actually started to make me think. I was like, you're right. Why do we, when we go on trips, bring all these necessary things? And so I started to think about, okay, what if we were going on a trip to Hawaii? What would you bring? You would bring the flip-flops. You would bring the bathing suits, the towels, the sunscreen, all the things. But I'm in the airport, and someone's like, hey, what do you got? And I was like, oh, I'm just bringing my 12-set new package of my pots and pans. I'm bringing them to Hawaii with me. I think people in the airport would be like, does she know why she's bringing that? Like, that's so crazy. Why is that important on her trip to Hawaii? But I think we do that with our sin. We have our virtues and characteristics that Paul calls us to, but many of us have those extra pots and pans that we're trying to carry along the journey and the trip of life. You see that this backpack, it looks comfortable. It looks like nobody would know what I'm actually carrying in it. And I actually probably could hide these pots and pans in here if I tried enough. But truly, these pots and pans aren't needed. They're actually weighing us down for the trip and for our life and the journey with God. They're not useful, and they're not what Paul is calling us to put on. Maybe these pots and pans are being quick to anger or holding offense towards others. Maybe they're looking lustfully at a man or a woman. Maybe they are being jealous or even holding grudges and unforgiveness to someone. Church, we need to repent and move on from it. In Romans 2:4, it says, "Or do you show contentment of the rich of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" You see, church, he picks us up. We no longer have to hold on to this extra baggage, this sin, this dirt, the habitual habits, but he brings us to freedom. No longer do we have to remain defeated, but his outreached hand is stretching towards you. No longer do you have to hold on to this extra baggage of sin that is weighing you down for the journey. You see, I held this baggage for far too long, of not feeling enough, unworthy, and holding this baggage of things that were leading me astray, whether that was going to guys for attention and for love. But I finally realized that I needed to let go of this baggage and look to him, as he was the one who continually showed me his kindness and faithfulness. I needed to let go and see the kindness of my Father and trust in his faithfulness. I've continued to have this picture over the last weeks as I've prepared this message of God the Father or Jesus just stretching out his hand to you. And I don't know if you feel this way, that you know that he is king, but you feel far away. You've lost some faith. You've lost some hope. You've lost the remembering that he is good. Can I encourage you to reach your hand out and grab him, because he wants you to come to him. He is your refuge. Bring the extra baggage, bring the dirt, bring the sin to him, because he doesn't want you to carry it any longer. All these things that we're trying to do is holding us back from living a life of Christ. Yet, he is kind, and he wants you to come to him. Can somebody say in this room that this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom? Okay, we need to try that again, sorry. 1, 2, 3. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Amen. This freedom took place when Jesus died on the cross, won the victory, and the veil was torn. When we are living by the Spirit and fleeing from our sinful desires, we can receive his kindness, and it draws us closer to the cross, seeing what he has done for us. He is good, and we are undeserving of this sacrificial act of this selflessness. He was kind. In a moment where he didn't have to die on our behalf, he chose to be selfless. In selflessness, the characteristic of kindness is most evident and exposed to the people around you. Therefore, just as Jesus was selfless and kind, we are also called to be kind, and which also leads us to repentance. And when we deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him, to the one who rescues us, to the one who redeems us, and to the one who restores us, we are receiving and we are being transformed by his kindness so that we can be kind to ourselves and unto others. Through the sanctification of his blood in our lives, as we keep listening to Jesus' voice, become more clear. Which leads me to my last point. How do we live out this kindness as a church and as a follower of Jesus? I recently heard someone say this, and it was so powerful, yet so simple. And it actually changed the way that I think about hearing God's voice. I truly believe that hearing God's voice is simple. Scripture tells us that all good things come from God. All good things. That means if you have a good thought towards someone, it's from him. Whether that is a compliment about someone's outfit, their eyes, their hard work ethic, or the way that they treat people, I truly believe that the good thought comes from the Holy Spirit, and you are able to extend that piece of kindness with them. Voicing those thoughts are powerful, and they extend a hand of kindness. All throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus' kindness on display, such as the story at the woman of the well when Jesus showed through his love and kindness and pointed her to a transformed life. Or when we see Jesus' outreached hand to his disciple Peter after doubting Jesus, the Son of God, when walking on water. Jesus lifted him out from the waves. Or we see Jesus healing the lame man, showing his power and his love. Or simply when he spoke to Mary and Martha in correction and showing them how to slow down. As Jesus demonstrates these things, my question is for you. How can you share this with people around you? By the way that you speak, the way that you first think, and then the way that you act. And kindness truly starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us together. Studies have shown that when you express an act of kindness, it is one of the only things that doubles when you share it. If you express kindness daily, it will reduce anxiety, depression, and stress. Your body will be filled with hormones to make you and the other person feel helped, calmer, healthier, and happier. Serotonin heals wounds emotionally and physically, making you feel relaxed and good. Endorphins reduce pain, and oxytocin reduces blood pressure to make you feel more loving and feel loved. Allowing people to also feel these same hormones, it likely will get them to also pay it forward. You can extend kindness by acts of service, hospitality, carrying someone's grocery, or simply smiling at them as they walk past, or paying for someone's coffee in the morning when you get yours. Or we could also be praying for someone, listening to that still small voice, asking, "Hey, how can I pray for you?" Following in obedience and encouragement of his word extends kindness to the people around us. Praying over ourselves that our hearts would be kind and selfless, we start by praying for ourselves and praying for others. I believe that there is freedom that is going to take place in the house this morning. And I'm going to call the band back up. But in order for us as followers of Jesus to extend this kindness, we need to heal the parts of our own hearts and need to be filled with the truth of Christ. So this morning, I am going to open up the altar, and this is going to be a place where we can come and repent for our sins, because our kind and loving Father wants us to lead us to repentance. We haven't done this many times in the last little while, but I really want to open up the altar so that we can come together as a physical act of saying, "Jesus, I want you to heal my heart. I want to see your kindness take place in my life. I want to follow in obedience and knowing your heart." But we have to heal our own pieces and sin in our own life. I truly think that this happens when we... I truly think that this begins to happen when we truly understand the importance of prayer. When I was broken, hurting, and lost, I genuinely felt like I knew Jesus, but I truly didn't know him until I put my firm foundation and took the advice from my mentors, pastors, and friends to spend time in prayer. I discovered and understood that the advice that those people had actually been saying to me was so, so, so valuable. And I saw the transformation happen in my own life with my relationship with Jesus. And so I encourage you, if you feel distant from the Lord, or if you feel like you've lost hope or that faith, spend time in the secret place with him. One of the girls said it up here earlier. And in Psalms 23, it says that he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. That table is full of blessing. That table is secure. That table is safe. And I told my middle school students this a little while ago, that Jesus is always sitting, waiting to spend time with you. He's waiting to bring you rest. He's waiting to bring you healing. He's waiting to bring you all of the virtues that Paul talks about. But we need to come to him. We need to ask him to heal the things in our hearts so that we can therefore be kind unto others. I'm also going to call up the prayer team, and I encourage you to come to the altar this morning. This might be new for people, but it is a physical act and representation saying, "Jesus, I need you. I need you to heal the parts and the wounds in my heart. I'm wanting for you to heal the parts that I'm surrendering to you. We need to repent, but He is a kind God when we repent from our sins. You're welcome to come up, kneel, pray, and talk to the kind Father so that He can wash you clean. He is a loving Father and wants to bring freedom in your life. He brought freedom in my life. He brought freedom of the sin that I was carrying for far too long. And He washed me clean. And I'm now a living testimony to say that Jesus is alive and living in and through me. And I'm excited to continue to share that kindness with everyone else because I've seen healing in my own life. If you want that same healing, you can come to the front this morning. The prayer team, you can also come up. We're going to worship and I'm just going to pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love. We thank you for all of the virtues that we are called to live out into your character. God, we thank you so much for your goodness, for your kindness, for your gentleness over our life. Jesus, we thank you so much that you died upon the cross for each one of us, for our sin, so that we may be redeemed and live a life pure. We could live a life that is washed clean, knowing that you are the Lamb that we can look to, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, so much, for your heart for each one of the people in this room. You know the things that they have been carrying. You know the things that have been weighing them down in the journey called life. But Jesus, I pray this morning with so much faith that you are wanting to heal wounds this morning. You are wanting to heal hearts. You are wanting to heal hurt that has happened and taken place in people's life. So God, I thank you that you are the God that is in the business of restoring. You heal, you redeem. And God, we give you all these things today. We thank you so much for your heart for every single person. May this be worship and glory to you as we see freedom taking place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship, but I'm going to also mention one more thing. I also think that an extension of kindness, as we pray over ourselves and pray for others, we can also do that by walking in the gifts of the Spirit. If you want to pray for someone, if you want to go encourage someone and get up from your seat and you feel like a word from the Lord is coming for someone that might be across the room, I encourage you to go and take that step of faith this morning, to go and pray over someone, because the act of kindness that you have from the Lord might lead that person to repentance, might lead that person into understanding, oh, there is healing that is going to take place in my life and that God wants to heal me. Whether that's in this room or outside of these walls, I truly think that the acts of kindness that we have from the Lord can lead someone's story into knowing Him. And so this morning, if you have a word from the Lord for somebody else, I encourage you to go and share that piece of kindness because it might heal a wound in their heart. So together, we're going to worship. You are welcome to come to the altar, repent from the sins that you have lived.